Good morning. Winter weather is here. Feels good to some of you, but not to me. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5 to begin with. And while you're turning there, I just would like again to thank everybody for praying for Kinsey, and really Kinsey, lately with the newborn, child number 3. Everybody's doing well, and just so thankful for our church family. And for those of you who know that I like to crack a good joke once in a while, the dad jokes just got 3 times as good. You can laugh about that later if you want. But anyway, so... Well, that was a good song that we started with, He is Able. That actually fits right in with what we'll be looking at this morning. And I have had the blessing and privilege to be here at East River for 19 years. And God saw fit that our family come here back when we lived up here in Huffman and have just settled in. This has been my home church. But over the years, whether it's in the church or in my family or in somebody else's family, sometimes we see a Christian who's just have walked away. And we know the battle is real, and the battle, the Christian walk, is raging, and in some ways gets more so all the time. And so really the thought that's been on my heart and mind the last few weeks is the subject line of avoiding a burnout. And these, you know, people that we know who just burn out, threw in the towel, and walked away. And some of them, there could be a case that could be argued whether or not they were actually saved. Okay, that's another subject line that we're not going into. We want to talk about believers this morning who are saved, but maybe the focus has altered a little bit. Maybe the heart has not been guarded like it should be. And when we talk about avoiding a burnout, we're talking about addressing the Christian that is weary. And we're not saying this morning that if we do everything right, we're not going to be weary, because that's just not the nature of the battle. We will become weary once in a while. If you like sports, whether it's basketball, okay, those guys run back and forth 100 times, it seems like, then they go take a breather on the sidelines. Football players, a few plays, they change them out, okay? And in all these cases, you know, what do? On the sideline, well, they're not eating French fries and drinking a Dr. Pepper, okay? They're sitting down sometimes, standing in front of a fan if it's football in the dog days of summer, but you'll see them drinking water, electrolytes. I've seen baseball pitchers eating a banana in the middle of their starting day. And so granola bars, you know, that is a perfect example, because they are just treating the body to be able to continue a little longer that day. And that's the exact same thing that we're talking about here. We will be weary, but Paul said, be weary and faint not. And that's what we want to avoid. And so in 1 Peter, well, before we get to that, the first stage of this is the reality of what we might call spiritual fatigue. The reality that it is real, and that even the strongest of believers grow weary. We're not going to turn. I have probably more scripture in this lesson than I've ever had in a lesson, but I've only got a handful that we're actually going to turn to. So, you know, David said in the book of Psalms, my heart is overwhelmed. And then later he said, why art thou cast down? And then in another verse he said, my soul melteth for heaviness. And the Apostle Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing. We were pressed out of measure in a different passage. And so these men that were really on the front line of the battle, they really experienced that fatigue and wearisome. But they gave us some instruction. And what causes the spiritual burnout? Well, it could be, number one, that we're just simply carrying burdens that are not ours to carry. And that's where 1 Peter chapter 5 comes in, verse number 7. We'll back up to verse number 6 for context. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's probably, you know, I can't tell you what my favorite verse in the Bible is, but if you would allow me to write down my top 15, maybe, 10, that probably is going to be in the top. And specifically in verse number 7, that last phrase, for he careth for you. Isn't it a simple thing to realize that we might actually forget that occasionally or live like nobody does care? Because that's simply not true. That's just a self-pity party when we start telling ourselves that. Because there is one who cares for us. And there is no burden that he's not interested in hearing about. I think about the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I meant to write down the lyrics, but I confess I forgot to. But what a friend we have in Jesus, and turning our care to him and simply talking to God. This morning is going to be very simple, but very true, okay? And so talking to God, I have now 3 children. One of them can't talk to me yet, but the other 2 can. And sometimes they talk quite a bit. But, you know, starting to see that side of life actually being a father. Because it's one thing for me to talk to my dad growing up. But now I'm on the other side, and I want them to talk to me. I mean, we were outside yesterday, and Joshua came around the corner kind of crying about something, and it's like, well, what happened? And he just kept crying, and it's like, just tell me what happened. You know, we'll fix it, okay? You know, and I want them to talk to me. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to talk to him, and he wants to talk to us. Could be isolation. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 10, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. How about the passage of Scripture that says, forsake not the assembly? I think about my church family. I get help in my church family, not just from the pulpit, okay, and the teaching from Brother Lewis here and the Wednesday nights, Brother Brian and whoever's up. I get help from the Scriptures, obviously, yes. But I get help with one-on-one time. I was thinking about Brother Mark Emerson. He's always that. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself on that point. But there are certain people that just, I don't know, like God has gifted them to add fuel in your fuel tank. Right? To go the extra mile. And when you serve God faithfully and regularly, you need those people in your life. And we're not going to find them at Walmart or Home Depot. We find them here. We need each other. I need you. I do. The nature of the battle for the adversary is to send things our way. Okay? Now, I don't want to chase too many rabbits with things, but I guess in a sense, using the things of life to distract us, okay? or to annoy us. Anything he can do to possibly get into the mind that might alter these things that we're talking about. Anything to make us doubt, anything to simply make us tired, anything to tempt us to relax in our walk with God. I guess we're talking about just typical things, everyday life that we all deal with, that sometimes might be a distraction. I mean, we found out this week that the insurance kind of messed things up for us when it comes to the hospital bill for Caleb. And, so we're dealing with that, like getting them to fix that, because I'm not paying that bill, okay? I mean, I don't want to, but... And I told Kenzie, I said, you know, I don't know how this is all going to shake out. I don't know if we end up paying the full thing, if that's the way the Lord wants it, that's okay. If we end up paying a small percentage of that, which is what my petition is right now, then okay. But I honestly believe that God will take care of it no matter what. But those type of situations, they can get into the mind and make you wonder, well, where's God in this situation? And you men in the church, Brother Mark Emerson especially, has helped me see that God is always faithful. And so, to me, when I see a problem like this, I think to myself, well, God's just simply about to do something. So let's get excited about this thing, you know? The bank account might not be excited, but let's get excited about it, right? And so it's just a flip of the mindset, okay? And I'm not trying to be the example. I'm just saying that things in life that come up unexpected and, we come here on a Sunday after a full week's of work. It's a great place to recharge, refresh, get ready for the next week. So how do we recognize this fatigue in our walk? Well, the first one, I just simply call it obvious signs. Obvious signs. Number one, we might lose a desire for the Word of God. David said in Psalm 119, I will not forget thy Word. And there has been a time or two, I can confess to you humbly, that I did forget his Word and that I did relax in that matter. Neglecting prayer, same thing. Jesus said in the book of Luke, men ought always to pray and not to faint. By doing this, we cut off our spiritual resources when we do those things. And then there's what I call the subtle signs. Things that may not realize are happening until you realize they're happening. In sports, I call it the all-of-a-sudden facts. Like, I've enjoyed watching the Aggies football this year, okay? And so, like, all of a sudden, in the third quarter, they'll pull up the charts, and yeah, the Aggies are doing great. And they've allowed very few offensive yardage from the other team, while their offense has, 300-something yards. It's like, boom, all of a sudden, you realize what's happening. And it's the same with this. Number one would be serving without joy. The nature of a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, walking with the Lord is one of full joy. Serving at church, in this case, we're talking about, I guess, serving for the duty, but without joy, okay, as the subtle sign. Almost as if, and I have been guilty of this, where we get back in the car after a Sunday service and it's like, I've been here for 2.5 hours, but I don't feel like, I mean, I talked to people, I saw people, but I don't feel like I did. And I've lost a little momentum there. And sometimes, you just got to get out of the sound room a little bit back there because you get caught up in that stuff. But I want to have joy when I serve at church. So sometimes the joy leaves us. When the joy leaves us, really at the same time, I call it an emotional numbness. We just simply become numb to the things of God. And by numb, sure, we get excited when somebody gets saved or somebody joins the church. But Maybe we find ourselves daydreaming during the preaching, and it's just not mattering. Mattering? I'm sorry, is that a word? Okay, good. It's not mattering to us. Rather than locking in and focusing on what the pastor is saying and asking God, Lord, teach me something. Help me this morning. Help me with something. We just sit there and treat it as another Sunday. We lose compassion. I meant to have you turn here earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, if you don't mind, real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, turn left in your Bible, verse number 32. Very well-known passage of Scripture. This is a verse of action, by the way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The goal here is to be Christ-like. The actions are the choices of being kind one to another, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving. And the reason why we need to take these actions is because we're not the only ones in this war. My fellow brethren are in the war as well. And so for the sake of the unity in the church and for us pushing together and pressing on, we need to be kind one to another. We need to be tender-hearted and forgiving. And so sometimes that fatigue, in those times of fatigue, we might find that I lose compassion for my brethren. And I don't want that. I don't want that at all. And then carrying our burdens alone. The Bible says right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, that is not the right verse. But he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need to be there for one another, to be in our place so that I can be helped by others, but that maybe the Lord can use me to help somebody else. And not in the sense of being a busybody. Not everything is everybody's business. There's obviously a balance to this, right? Everybody has their privacy. But we being in our place, we shouldn't tuck our heads into a shell similar to a turtle when we have an issue. If the brethren can pray for us on a matter, and if you know one or two, then we should ask them. And I express this because I've seen how it's helped in my life. That's one thing about teaching, is I can't stand up here and teach this unless these same things have helped me at one point in my life. And I think about recently, earlier this year, my dad had a heart issue, and I was very concerned about it. I asked Brother Mark Emerson and some other guys to pray for him about it. Brother Mark would, I can't remember if it was a call or text, but he would follow up with me. He made note of when the next appointment was to check on how he was doing. And thank God all that worked out for the time being. There's no issues. So I'm thankful that God saw fit to resolve that for the time being. But it helped me to have confidence in the Lord, knowing that my brother cared and that he was praying for me and praying for my dad about that. In business, I had a very important business decision to make about a year ago. So what did I do? I asked my good friend, Brother Lewis Clark, if I could come over to his house and talk to him, get some counsel. And because sometimes we just need somebody else to look at the scenario. You know, it's kind of like, Miss Christie, it's like when you read over a school paper five times, yep, that is good to go. And then you get it back and it's like, how did I miss that? You know, and it's the same thing in life. And so Brother Lewis sat down. He saw a couple of red flags. He saw some opportunity with it, but he saw some red flags, and we prayed about it, and I was able to make a good decision at that time. So these men that God has placed here, this is why it's so important for us to stay together, because there's these men that have always been here longer than I have that I can go to, and they are an anchor for me. And just as a side note on that matter, when it comes to the elders in the church, I do not address the elders in the church, okay? But if I can encourage them, don't ever think you're too elderly to do anything in the church. Because the greatest thing you can do for somebody like me is to stay in your place and be an anchor in the church and an example. And then when I have a problem, you're available for me to come to for some counsel and some prayer. That is the most important thing that you could do for me or anybody else in the church. These are subtle signs. Serving without joy, we become emotionally numb, we lose compassion, start carrying burdens, we don't ask each other for some counsel, for some help. So then how do we recharge? Turn to Psalms chapter 62. I love the book of Psalms. I love David because David is, in my opinion, probably one of the most transparent characters in the Bible, when he truly just spells it out on what's on his heart and what's on his mind. Psalm 62, verse number 5. David said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him sometimes." Good. You're paying attention. "Trust in him all times, at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah." We said at the beginning this was going to be very simple. This is about as simple as it gets. When we find ourselves fatigued, go to God. Go to God. And I like how he's described as the rock, because a rock doesn't move in this case. Number one, be thankful because he is a rock. He is our rock. Be thankful that he is always faithful and true, as the song has been sung several times. He will never be dethroned. He will always be there. He's always consistent, even when we are not. Like David, number two, we need to be honest and transparent. Search me, O God. Years ago, back when I was in college, I believe it was the first time that I ever sat down with our pastor for some counsel on a family matter. And he told me, he asked me a question and I was struggling to answer. It was kind of new for me, sitting across a table from my pastor. He told me, "I need you to be honest and transparent." And I said, "Yes, sir." And from that point on, because of what he told me, the best counseling that I have ever received help with is when I am completely transparent and honest and simply admitting my mistakes. The flesh tells you, "Boy, you sure sound like a dumb person right now, don't you?" It's like, well, you know, you got to tell them like it is. And it's a good trait to have. God loves an open heart. David said, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." Question: did God already know what his issue was? He did. But the game changed when David was transparent and put it out there before the Lord. Might slightly be a different context, but I think it's still a good verse. Proverbs says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And I was thinking more about that part of covering. The more we cover, the more that just hinders us from pressing on. being honest, being transparent, being thankful that he's our rock, and then finding rest in God's presence. When I was about to go off to college, I was here on a Sunday night, and a man came up to me. He was actually a missionary. He came up to me, and he said, "You look troubled." And I, you know, okay, I guess I don't have a poker face, you know, and in that sense. And I said, I am. And I was just unsettled about going down to Corpus Christi for my freshman year of college. And I explained some of the details to him, and he said, and the only thing he said, Brother Dwayne, was, "When you go home tonight, read Psalm 37. I said, "Okay, Psalm 37. He said, "Read Psalm 37. And so I did. And one of the best verses that helped me at that time was verse number 7 of that psalm, where he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." But that psalm just, I saw God's will at that time in my life with that, through that psalm, and that he was going to be there with me going to that place for that time in my life. And the peace that that brought, all of a sudden, I mean, onward bound, here we go. And that just, I'll never forget that. And because of that, I've gone back and I've reread Psalm 37, probably more than any psalm, probably more than Psalm 100. I've read Psalm 37 probably more than any other psalm because of that. And it just helps me when we just remind ourselves that God is there. Despite all the wickedness in the world, all the rebellion, all the hate for the believers, he is still there. And that we are not alone. We need to renew our mind. We talked about a mindset change a little bit already. The devil is after our mind. He's after the minds, especially of young people. So then the question is, does he have it? Has he succeeded? That's only a question we can answer for ourselves when we dive deep into the Word of God and spend time with the Lord. So we must make an effort and time to do that on a daily basis. I want to renew my mind. I want my mind to be, in a spiritual sense, screwed on straight at the beginning of each morning. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. These are things that Paul said, and essentially the solution to do that is, as we all know to do, we have to pray at the start of each day. In the side of business, there's been some leadership training that I've done through that. And so much of that leadership involves the mindset. And one of my favorite quotes about this is actually from Zig Ziglar. And he said, "You are what you are and where you are by what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind." So the question is, what's going into my mind? Is it the world or is it the Word? There's only two options. Doesn't matter how well they sugarcoat it, the world or the Word. I'm sorry? What I just quoted? That is not in the Bible. That's just a Christian businessman. I think he's passed away now, isn't he? Yeah, he's passed away. He's definitely passed away now. That's not a verse. Mm-hmm. And then, lastly, on this thought, being thankful that he's the rock, being honest, transparent, resting in his presence, renewing our mind. Lastly, and you know, when you think about these things, they all go together. They really do. We're just kind of breaking them down one by one. But the last one is trading in our strength for his strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We know we're fighting a spiritual war, and our foe is beyond any of us, but by his strength, I can resist the adversary. I can avoid the spiritual burnout, not recovering from my weariness. And I think about the passage in Matthew 11. We all know it well. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He is there for us. And then the last thing, how do we press on when we feel worn down? After, you know, we've done these things. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is wrapping up his letter, the first letter to this church. We need to remember him, remember why we serve him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Every time we show up, the Sunday school teachers who go next door, the Wednesday night teachers next door, whoever's up to preach the Wednesday nights, whoever is scheduled to work in the nursery, whoever is scheduled to work the security, to count the offering, to play the instruments, to lead the singing, to teach the Sunday school, not one fraction of an ounce of that is in vain. And the leadership is not in vain. And that it is here for a purpose. It's so easy to lose momentum, to get distracted, to stop praying, to slack off, stop meditating in his word, when it's kind of like Peter walking on the water and we just simply take our eyes off of the purpose. We must keep our eyes on him. One of the verses that Brother Lewis pressured us in a good way to memorize in proteins when I first... My first year there was Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing forward. It's hard to press forward when towards the mark when we're not looking at the mark. And like a foot race, where they always say, best foot forward. And then we need to lean on God's people. We need to be in our place here at the church. The faith of the elderly, men and women, Brother Brock, Sister Robin, all of the others, Brother Dick Walker, these men and women are here, and they are an example to us that it is possible and that God is always faithful to us. Let God fight the battles. And I'm not saying for us to not do anything. I remember the week that Kenzie and I were going to get married, Brother Kenneth wanted to take me golfing. That was the father and future son-in-law time together that week. And he told me on the way back, he said, we were talking about something, I don't remember what, but I remember what he always said. And maybe it's a quote from somebody, I don't know, but as far as my mind goes, he's the one that said it. He said, you got to work like it all depends on you, and pray like it all depends on God. So yes, we've got to let God fight the battles, but we have to do our part. Lastly, just a little encouragement for the weary believer. Maybe some of these traits are present in our lives, and we realize, yes, I'm more weary than I realized. Don't be discouraged, because like we said, we can expect to be weary. We just don't want to faint from it. Number one, God does not expect us to run without Him. He does not set us up for failure. There is grace for the place. Weariness is an opportunity for us to be strengthened. Weariness is an opportunity for us to stand strong where we are and become stronger. And sometimes we are weary by our own doing and our own choices. But that's a different subject. Many times, the weariness is just simply the nature of the battle. The burnout is totally preventable with God's grace. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never let the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. We're not talking about avoiding weariness. We're just talking about how to avoid the fainting. And we need to be able to identify these times in our lives and turn to God and get the recharge that we need, and to just simply not give up. To the elders in the church, I personally thank you for being there and for being an example to me, Brother Oakley, that I can just press on and keep serving God. And for the rest of us, do not give up. We're about to start a whole new year. One side of the coin might say, yep, here comes 2026. What's the trouble going to be this year? And there's truth in that. But then the other side of the coin could say, here comes 2026. Let's see what God's going to do this year. Because we know He's always faithful to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, sure thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth found in it. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to identify these areas, to stand strong. I thank you, Father, that there is grace for the place, that there is mercy at the cross, and that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. We pray now, Father, for Brother Rogers. He stands to preach in the coming hour. And we just thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.